We're turning to Joshua 16 and 17 tonight. Joshua 16 and 17. It's not quite as long as Joshua 15, but it's important for us to break it down and just see in simple terms what is being shown to us here. And I'll put it to you this way. God is the one who is sovereign over the order of birth people in the family. And he's given the firstborn particular privileges because of it. But he's sovereign over that reality. And so he does things according to his redemptive plan in order to show us something greater. And that's what he's doing with Ephraim and Manasseh. You might remember the background in Genesis 48. Manasseh is the oldest, and so he's supposed to have Jacob's right hand over him. Jacob is old, and so Joseph comes up and specifically puts Manasseh under his right hand and Ephraim under his left hand. But before he blesses the two of them, Jacob, who's old, crosses his hands. And Joseph is displeased. He thinks he's doing the wrong thing, but this is a prophetic act. This is an act that demonstrates what we're seeing in this passage, and also the sovereign work of God in granting Ephraim the blessing that would have gone to Manasseh. Chapter 16, this is the word of God. And the lot of the children of Joseph fell down from Jericho by Jordan by Jericho, unto the water of Jericho on the east, to the wilderness that goeth up from Jericho throughout Mount Bethel, and goeth out from Bethel to Luz, and passeth along the waters of Arki to Ederol, and goeth down eastward to the coast of Jephthali, unto the coast of Beth-horon, the nether, and to Gezer, and the goings out of the thereof are at the sea. So the children of Joseph, Manasseh and Ephraim, took their inheritance. And the border of the children of Ephraim, according to their families, was thus. Even the border of their inheritance on the east side was Ataroth-Edar unto Beth-horon the upper. And the border went out toward the sea, toward Michmethah on the north side, and the border went about eastward unto Taanath-Shiloh, and passed by it on the east to Genoha. And it went down from Genoha to Ataroth, and to Na'aroth, and came to Jericho, and went out at Jordan. The border went out from Tapua westward unto the river Kena, and the goings out thereof were at the sea. This is the inheritance of the tribe of the children of Ephraim by their families. And the separate cities for the children of Ephraim were among the inheritance of the children of Manasseh, all the cities with their villages. And they drave not out the Canaanites that dwelt in Gezer, but the Canaanites dwell among the Ephraimites unto this day, and serve under tribute. There was also a lot for the tribe of Manasseh, for he was the firstborn of Joseph, to wit, for Machir, the firstborn of Manasseh, the father of Gilead, because he was a man of war. Therefore he had Gilead and Bashan. There was also a lot for the rest of the children of Manasseh by their families, for the children of Abiezer, for the children of Helek, and for the children of Asriel, and for the children of Shechem, and for the children of Hefer, and for the children of Shemida. These were the male children of Manasseh, the son of Joseph, by their families. But Zelophehad, the son of Hefer, the son of Gilead, the son of Machir, the son of Manasseh, had no sons but daughters. And these are the names of his daughters: Malah and Noah, Haglah, Milcah, and Tirzah. And they came near before Eleazar the priest, and before Joshua the son of Nun, and before the princes, saying, "The Lord commanded Moses to give us an inheritance among our brethren. Therefore, according to the commandment of the Lord, he gave them an inheritance among the brethren of their father." And there fell 10 portions to Manasseh beside the land of Gilead and Bashan, which were on the other side Jordan, because the daughters of Manasseh had an inheritance among his sons, and the rest of Manasseh's sons had the land of Gilead. And the coast of Manasseh was from Asher to Michmahath, which lieth before Shechem. And the border went along on the right hand unto the inhabitants of En-Tapua. Now Manasseh had the land of Tapua, but Tapua on the border of Manasseh belonged to the children of Ephraim. And the coast descended unto the river Kena,
southward of the river. These cities of Ephraim are among the cities of Manasseh. The coast of Manasseh was also on the north side of the river, and the outgoings of it were at the sea. Southward it was Ephraim's, and northward it was Manasseh's, and the sea is his border. And they met together in Asher on the north, and in Issachar on the east. And Manasseh had in Issachar and in Asher, Beth Shean and their towns, and Ibleam and their towns, and the inhabitants of Dor and her towns, and the inhabitants of Endor and her towns, and the inhabitants of Taanach and her towns, and the inhabitants of Megiddo and her towns, even three countries. Yet the children of Manasseh could not drive out the inhabitants of those cities, but the Canaanites would dwell in that land. Yet it came to pass, when the children of Israel were waxing strong, that they put the Canaanites to tribute, but did not utterly drive them out. And the children of Joseph spake unto Joshua, saying, Why hast thou given me but one lot and one portion to inherit, seeing I am a great people, for as much as the Lord hath blessed me hitherto? And Joshua answered them, If thou be a great people, then get thee up to the wood country, and cut down for thyself there in the land of the Perizzites and of the giants, if Mount Ephraim be too narrow for thee. And the children of Joseph said, The hill is not enough for us, and all the Canaanites that dwell in the land of the valley have chariots of iron, both they who are of Beth Shean and her towns, and they who are of the valley of Jezreel. And Joshua spake unto the house of Joseph, even to Ephraim and to Manasseh, saying, Thou art a great people, and hast great power. Thou shalt not have one lot only, but the mountain shall be thine. For it is a wood, and thou shalt cut it down, and the outgoings of it shall be thine. For thou shalt drive out the Canaanites, though they have iron chariots, and though they be strong. The precious word of the living and the true God. Birth order and the sovereignty of God, sovereign purposes given by God. Something that you need to know right away is that amazingly, Joshua is of the tribe of Ephraim. We find this in Numbers 13, verse 8. Of the tribe of Ephraim, Hoshea, the son of Nun, Joshua. He's from the tribe of Ephraim. That's quite striking. And then you also need to know that this story is telling us about one lot that was given to the descendants of Joseph. But there were two tribes, and it was divided according to them. So it might be a little confusing, but it's one lot that's given to them. That's their complaint. It's only one lot given to our two tribes. So the children of Joseph, as we begin in chapter 16, are listed together. Ephraim and Manasseh, they're listed together as the children of Joseph. They're listed as those who have one lot in verse 1. And it fell down from Jordan by Jericho. And we're given the lot as it's divided among these people, the children of Joseph, this particular group of people, the tribe. And they're given this land, and we're given the details of it. But then we read in verse 4, So the children of Joseph, Manasseh and Ephraim, took their inheritance. And then right away, in verse 5, Ephraim and Manasseh are switched. We hear about Ephraim, first of all. We hear about Ephraim, and Ephraim was actually is actually described as receiving an inheritance. That's not the language that's used of Manasseh in chapter 17 and verse 1. The language that's used of Manasseh in chapter 17 and verse 1 is a lot. Ephraim receives an inheritance. Manasseh receives a lot. The order of them has been switched. It's that story that I told you about before reading the passage in Genesis 48, where Jacob is extremely old and Joseph comes to him. And apparently, Jacob cannot see very well because Joseph comes up and he specifically puts J- Jacob's hand, his right hand, over Manasseh, which is the way that you bless the firstborn, Manasseh. And Ephraim gets the left hand. But then Jacob switches hands. And so Ephraim receives the blessing that was designed for the firstborn. And that's reflected here. It's reflected in the history of redemption. It's reflected in the way that this plays out. Ephraim is given an inheritance. Manasseh is given a lot. God is sovereign even over the law of the firstborn that he gave in Deuteronomy 21. He's sovereign over this because he is the one who is orchestrating the inheritance that's given to the people of God here in the land. Now that's important because we heard about Judah in the last chapter. And we went kind of quickly through the account of Judah. And I referred to a few places in the history of redemption where Judah is mentioned. But in Psalm 78, Judah actually takes over from Ephraim. Judah is placed in a position that was not theirs originally. Judah. Judah is actually like I said last time, the lion. Lying in wait. Judah's not the most virtuous of the children. You see that sin in Genesis 38. Judah is not the firstborn, but Judah is the one who was orchestrated in the history of redemption to be the one from whom Jesus comes. The genealogy in Matthew chapter 1. So God is sovereign over this work, even over the work of birth order, the law of the firstborn that's given. He delivers the inheritance according to his sovereign choices. And that's an important principle for us to learn. As we're reading through the book of Romans, as we're considering how God brings about salvation to the Gentiles, how he brings about salvation in Jesus Christ to the people of the nations. He's not restricted to this biological pattern. We even saw that in Genesis 21, as Ishmael is biologically from Abraham, but he's not the one who is designed to be the child of promise. It's Isaac. God is sovereign over even the inheritance of the land and how it plays out. And that's important because it's something that shows us that we need to rely upon the living God as we understand how he brings about these great deliverances. He blesses Ephraim with priority over Manasseh, even though Manasseh had the firstborn rights. This is how God brings about salvation. And so we read that this is given to us. We read the geography of it in verses 5 to 10. And it's interesting to see how this geography works out. Because as you read chapter 16 and 17 together, you find that it's kind of messy. Ephraim and Manasseh seem to have common borders. And there's something going on in the way that God distributes this land to the people of Ephraim and Manasseh. There's a prophetic group of verses that we read strewn throughout the book of Joshua. We see it again and again and again as the people who are inhabiting certain portions of the land don't drive out the Canaanites all the way. We see that again in this chapter. We saw it at the end of chapter 15 and verse 63. We see it now in chapter 16 and verse 10. They drave not out the Canaanites that dwelt in Gezer, but the Canaanites dwell among the Ephraimites unto this day and serve under tribute. Did you know that the book of Joshua was not just history? It's actually God's prophetic history. It's showing us the pattern of the book of Judges already. Even though this is the conquest and the distribution of the land, we already see that the people of God are going to be compromised because they don't drive out the Canaanites. Already we're seeing faithlessness and disobedience. We need God to sovereignly work again to bring about his sovereign, gracious will for salvation. We need him to bring the inheritance. Because the people who are receiving the inheritance, they don't quite understand what they've been given. They've been given not only a gift of the land, they've been given a task. This is the task that Caleb took up in chapter 14 and chapter 15. Caleb said that he was willing to drive out the giants. It's a gift of the land, but keeping the land is a function of the obedience of the people of God and their willingness to rely upon God. But they don't rely upon him all the way. And so we have this statement again and again that appears throughout these chapters that reminds us that the people of God are not following through on the task that they've been given in their portion of land. Well, the people of Manasseh are given their portion as well. It's called a lot in chapter 17, verse 1. It's a very different word than the word inheritance that was used of Ephraim. And it's given, and specifically we're told that Manasseh was the firstborn of Joseph in that verse, chapter 17, verse 1. Manasseh was the firstborn of Joseph. And it was given for Machir, the firstborn of Manasseh, the father of Gilead, because he was a man of war. Therefore, he had Gilead and Bashan. And there's a lot for children of Manasseh by their families. They're listed there. They're listed in great detail. But then we find that God is tying together some of the redemptive strands that he has already outlined earlier in the books of Moses. Zelophehad, the son of Hefer, the son of Gilead, the son of Machir, the son of Manasseh, had no sons but daughters. And these are the names of his daughters: Mahla and Noah, Hogla, Milcah, and Tirzah. And they know that they have been promised an inheritance. It was already in the book of Numbers in chapter 27. It was reflected upon in Numbers 36. They were told that they were going to receive an inheritance. So they go right to the priest. They go right to the one who's there with Joshua to distribute the land. And they claim what the law of Moses says is theirs, their inheritance. This is in the Word of God. It's given to them, these daughters. And already we get a foretaste of what God is going to do in the time when Jesus Christ from heaven pours out the Holy Spirit on all flesh, on different kinds of people, on men and women. And he gives them the Spirit equally. He gives them that inheritance. The inheritance that was promised through Abraham is given to the people of God. So we have this foretaste already in verse 4 of chapter 17. They come before Eleazar the priest and before Joshua, before the princes, saying, "The Lord commanded Moses to give us an inheritance among our brethren. Therefore, according to the commandment of the Lord, he gave them an inheritance among the brethren of their father." These daughters are provided for by the decree of Moses, by the word of God, by the declaration that this will be your inheritance. God does not leave people out. He does not ignore people who are in these special situations. He's sovereign over them. And he has already provided for these women to have an opportunity to declare that this is God's will for them. They understand it, and they declare it in the presence of the priest and Joshua, and they receive the inheritance as promised. And then there are 10 portions to Manasseh, and we read more about the land that's given to the children of Manasseh. And we get down to verse 12 and we find again this statement. It was there at the end of chapter 16. It was there at the end of chapter 15. It was earlier in chapter 13. The Word of God continues to tell us that certain people are not driving the Canaanites out. Chapter 17 and verse 12, it says, The children of Manasseh could not drive out the inhabitants of those cities, but the Canaanites would dwell in that land. And it came to pass, in verse 13, when the children of Israel were waxing strong, that they put the Canaanites to tribute. They made them servants. But they did not utterly drive them out. This is what happens to the people of God in the land. They accept the Canaanites. They accept them among them. They even cause them to serve them. Apparently strong enough to do that, but they do not wipe them out. They disobey the rules that were given in the book of Moses. Which is why it's amazing as the people of God come together, as the children of Joseph now come together as one, Ephraim and Manasseh, that they have this complaint. This complaint in verses 14 to 18. The children of Joseph spake unto Joshua, saying, Why hast thou given me but one lot and one portion to inherit, seeing I am a great people, for as much as the Lord hath blessed me hitherto? You see the complaint. We are many. We have one lot. Now Manasseh had already been, the half-tribe of Manasseh had already been given some land on the other side of the Jordan. There's the distribution of the land, but their complaint is with the lot. The lot that was orchestrated by the sovereign choice of God. They're complaining about how the lot fell out for them. They're complaining about God's sovereign work in giving them their inheritance. They're complaining because, according to their understanding, they are too many people for the amount of land that they've been given. This is the people of God, the children of Joseph, together. Ephraim and Manasseh seen as one, getting one lot, only one. And we are so many. Why are you treating me this way? Notice the word me in there. They see themselves as those who have been personally offended by how the lot has been orchestrated. We've been blessed already. Surely in this area, we are going to be blessed as well. You know what they're asking for? They're asking for the lot that was given to another tribe to be taken away from them and given to them. That's what they're asking for. They're saying that God is not giving them, but it's justified. They're saying that God has made a mistake in giving them only one lot. Not enough land, because we are a great people. There's too many of us for the land that you've given to us. What are they missing? They're missing Caleb's approach. They're missing the approach of those who understood the conquest, that it was a gift of God. The land was given as a gift, but it was also a task. It was a task to be continued. It was a task that required them to continue to fight, to continue to clear space for the people of God to live. They had to take on the Canaanites, and they weren't doing it. Again and again, we read that at the end of chapter 16. We read that in chapter 17 and verse 12. Both tribes did not take out the Canaanites. And so they come. Notice also who's missing. The priest is not there. Because they're complaining about the outworkings of this lot. About how God is giving them the inheritance. Their beef is with God. And they're complaining in the presence of Joshua. So Joshua speaks to them. This warrior, the one who's been part of the conquest, the leader of God's people, the one who knew that God said, I will be with you. And this is what he says in verse 15. If thou be a great people, then get thee up to the wood country and cut down for thyself there in the land of the Perizzites and of the giants, if Mount Ephraim be too narrow for thee. Start cutting wood. Start clearing space to farm the land. Do it. You are the people of God. This is the time of the conquest. Joshua tells them to press on. He reminds them of the task. He tells them that the task is before them. He reminds them that though they've been given the land as a gift, it is also a gift that is strengthening them in the task. They have been given the gift of many people, so use those people to clear wood and to clear space for you to live. And the children of Joshua say in verse 16, the children of Joseph, rather, the hill is not enough for us, and all the Canaanites that dwell in the land of the valley have chariots of iron. Both they who are of Beth Shean and her towns and those who are of the valley of Jezreel. Chariots of iron. Now, these aren't the chariots that the people of God encountered in Joshua 11, verse 4. These are chariots of iron. Probably had wood with iron around them, but some people think that there were like spikes of iron that stuck out from the chariots. They had iron on these wheels. Chariots made from a technology that enabled the people of the land to be extremely strong. And these children of Joseph were afraid. They were afraid just like the people in Numbers 13. The people who refused to enter the land because they were giants. They're replaying redemptive history. They're going backwards. We can't take them out. They have chariots of iron. You have the living God. The one who caused Jericho to fall. The one who caused the Jordan to part. You have the one who caused the sun to stand still. And you're saying you can't fight because their technology is ahead of yours. And Joshua says, you say that your land is too small. I say that your faith is too small. Joshua speaks to them in verse 17, and he says to Ephraim and to Manasseh, both of them together, thou art a great people and hast great power. Thou shalt not have one lot only, but the mountain shall be thine. For it is a wood, and thou shalt cut it down, and the outgoings of it shall be thine. For thou shalt drive out the Canaanites, though they have iron chariots, and though they be strong. Joshua reminds them of how the conquest worked. He reminds them that their gift that's given to them by God is a task. But you see, we have come to a place where the people of God, the tribes of Ephraim and Manasseh, are standing in contrast to Caleb. They're standing in contrast to the way that Caleb went about entering his territory. He said, give me this mountain. I will take on the giants. 85 years old, I'm still as strong. Because he had faith. He fully devoted himself to the Lord. And yet these people of God, they're already weakening. Even before they take their territory. They're asking for more because they're unwilling to cut down the wood and they're unwilling to take on the Canaanites with their iron chariots. They're asking for God to give them the land. But they don't want to take up the task. They don't want to take up the task that's connected to God's gift. And that's why, if we look forward in the history of redemption, we look to Psalm 78, we find that God raises up Judah. And from the tribe of Judah will come one who will deliver God's people. One who will not shirk the task. He will come from Bethlehem, Micah 5, verse 2 tells us. A little place, but he will be a great ruler. The Lord Jesus Christ. And he's the firstborn. He will be the firstborn from among the dead. But God is still sovereign in his ability to bring about the inheritance distributed according to his sovereign will. You know what he does? He brings about the tribe of Judah. He brings the Lord Jesus Christ out of that tribe in Matthew chapter 1. He brings one who is willing to fight. The Lord Jesus Christ takes on the religious leaders. He takes on the devil. He takes on death. But when it comes time to distribute the inheritance that's given. The sovereign grace of God is massively shown. The daughters of Zelophehad are just a little foretaste of it. The switching of Ephraim and Manasseh and the receiving of the inheritance is just a foretaste of it. It blows up. It becomes an incredible picture. The Gentiles are brought into the people of God. They are given the privileges of the children of God. His own people rejected him, but the Lord Jesus Christ from heaven distributes blessings, the inheritance, to people who weren't part of the line to receive them. On the basis of his victorious power, the Lion of the tribe of Judah gives to a people of God the inheritance that we were unable to obtain for ourselves. We need to see ourselves in the attitude of the people of Ephraim and Manasseh. We need to see ourselves in the way in which the Word of God promises a blessing to people years before they were even born. Back in Genesis 12, God promised to Abraham that through him, all of the nations would be blessed. And the book of Galatians says that that has been accomplished by the Holy Spirit. But don't miss this. You have been sovereignly gifted by God with an inheritance that you did not earn. An inheritance that comes through the victorious work of the Lord Jesus Christ, taking on sin, taking on the wickedness of the world, converting people, even in his earthly ministry, and even more from heaven. The Lord Jesus Christ is grabbing people from the devil and hugging them, bringing them home. You've been given a task. The church as a whole has been given a task. It's called the Great Commission. But that task, you see, cannot be accomplished by relying upon the flesh. We rely upon the flesh, we're looking exactly like Ephraim and Manasseh. The world is too hard, too rebellious, too wicked. People are not interested in the Lord Jesus Christ. Make disciples of all nations. They don't want it. Their heart is iron. But the Lord Jesus Christ tells us that all authority in heaven and earth has been given to him. He's the one who governs the Great Commission. He's the one who governs the distribution, the sovereign choice of God. Who will be saved next? God sovereignly works through the declaration of the gospel. Who will be saved next? As the Lion of the tribe of Judah roars. Ephraim and Manasseh at this point lost their way. Caleb still understands. And the tribe of Judah waits. They've been given a massive inheritance, but we don't know why yet. Psalm 78 will explain it. Micah 5 verse 2 will explain it. The genealogy in Matthew will explain it. The arrival of the Lord Jesus Christ and the declaration in the book of Revelation that he's the Lion of the tribe of Judah will explain it. But there is God's sovereign choice to distribute the inheritance to people who were not in the line. And he still does that today. The Great Commission is being carried out today in our time in redemptive history. It's being carried out by the risen Christ. It's every bit as exciting as a conquest of the land. And it's just as full of the tendency to hold back to shrink, to cower, and to fail to recognize the grand gift and task that God has given. It must be done by Jesus Christ. It must be done through Jesus Christ. But he uses people, people who weren't in the line, to receive the greatest of privileges.